A minor failure of empathy. We have the finest jails in the Western world. Caroline Phillips, Home Secretary. Angela stared at the green painted walls of her cell, a Good News Bible in her hands, a small dusty transistor radio stuttering beside her, and failed to digest the news about Caro's elevation. She was allowed a small television as well as the radio, and she watched and listened obsessively. None of it made the slightest sense. Caro was a good person. Angela realized now that she had been moving away, turning off the lights for weeks. But she could never have foreseen that speech. Not that scale of betrayal. Caro might not be very high on the empathy scale, but she had always been a good person. Ever since they had met at school, she had been Angela's rock. Far more than just her lover, she had been her best friend, her confidant, her pal in the great adventure of life, her other mother, her better mother. Never cruel, never a liar. It was inconceivable to Angela, even in the darkest hours of her longest wakeful nights, that Caroline could believe what she had told the House of Commons. Angela had humiliated herself by repeatedly texting. She had called and left countless voice messages, all too conscious that she was unable to avoid a broken, whinging tone. She was sorry. 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 She just wanted to talk, talk, talk. She didn't want to put any pressure, pressure, pressure on dear, dear, dear Caro. And yet, hour after hour, day after day, not a single message came back. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Angela shuddered and curled into a ball, feeling as if there was a pulsating tumour inside her. It was so hot in the cell during the daytime that she had to strip to her underwear, and it was so cold at night that she found herself rapping on the door, begging for more blankets. A prison service psychiatrist visited her, but what she said had made no sense. Her lawyer came, and after Angela had insisted that she would plead guilty, left again. There was no news about the trial date. By now, Angela was quite sure that she was going mad. At last she knelt on the floor and prayed. She wanted to know what she had done in the past that had led her to this disaster. Had she always been this way, weak and pathetic, even as she performed like a clown in public? Sometimes she felt that God was answering her, a wrathful God with furrowed brows, a list of her misdemeanours in his hand. Caro had always been a good person. Angela would kill herself if she didn't hear something soon. Day after day there was Caro on the television, smiling that same bewitching smile, staring out at her, looking through her, talking, talking, talking. A week into her incarceration, Angela had a visit from Lady Broderick. She described Caro as a heartless bitch and said that she had taken charge of the boys. Angela was helplessly grateful for that, at least. Nothing made any sense at all. Nicky, meanwhile, found living in Pebbleton Hall a much easier and more pleasant experience than he'd expected. The old lady turned up for breakfast and supper, but most of the time the house was run by servants who apparently didn't have names, but job descriptions. Cook, gardener, help. It was a cold life, but an easy one. And Nicky discovered not that he was sly, he'd always known that, but that he enjoyed his slyness. On the surface, he remained polite, well-scrubbed and hard-working. In his real life, he searched out and found new consolations. Ketamine, skunk and legal highs freely available after school. Once or twice he slipped upstairs after toast and cornflakes for a mug of vodka and milk. There was always enough money lying around in Lady Broderick's desk for him to keep top-top with vodka. Surfing the web, he discovered a wasteland of sexual cruelty. And so, crookedly, he began to grow up. Lady Broderick seemed to think that she'd saved him, taken him to a little green Devonian Eden. Nicky slithered delightedly through it, a snake gorging on forbidden knowledge. He saw very little of Ben, who had been bullied during his first few days back at their old school, but had hit back with his fists and feet, and was already rising through the ranks as a promising young bully himself. Only once during a Newsnight interview had Carol been challenged about what had happened to the children in her previous relationship. Not missing a beat, she had replied that they were being looked after by good friends and very happy. Luckily, she wasn't asked if she ever saw them. Some journalists tugged away at the story, but nobody had heard of old Lady Broderick, and Angela was, of course, unavoidably detained elsewhere. So two young lives quietly curdled, further examples of the inevitable collateral damage of parliamentary politics.